Hey, before we start the show, just a thought. Now that the holidays are over, I recognize there's a possibility that you didn't get that jersey, hat, or sweatshirt, or whatever, from your favorite soccer club. But did you know? Thankfully, all of that's still available by the great people at soccer90.com. Additionally, while you could go shop for it on their fantastic website, you do know, don't you, there is an actual retail store. Yes, there's an actual Soccer 90 brick and mortar thing up in Frisco, Texas, at Toyota Stadium next to the Hall of Fame. They're open every day of the week other than Monday. It is a great place to walk in and see everything that you and I love, soccer stuff galore. U.S. national team, MLS teams, international club teams from all over the world. They've got it. Chelsea, Man City, Bayern, Juventus, Manchester United, they got a little bit of stuff from every place. And if they don't have it, make sure you ask them, because sometimes it's tough to get that stuff. Like if you're looking for a Ricardo Pepi Osberg jersey, well, you should know they're working on getting those. They also have other types of soccer gear like shin guards, gloves, etc. A little bit of everything for a little bit of all. Go to soccer90.com, the website, or go to the store in Frisco, Texas. And when you do check out, use the code KICKAROUND to get 25% off. Some exclusions apply. Soccer90.com, soccer Christmas 24/7.
It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's our two soccer nerds, Andy Swift and Peter Welton.
Norwich on the charge again. Here's Ida! 2-0 Norwich, 2 in double quick time. Everton battered. A superb counter-attack. Energy and pace, and Adam Ida claims the goal.
Hi-de-ho, P1s. Welcome to the first 2022 Kick-Around. We broadcast when they tell us, for you, the good P1 that wants to sit around, talk soccer, and all that implies. Hi, for those new here, or for the majority of you probably highly unfamiliar, my name is Peter, and sitting alongside is the international man of mystery, Andy Swift.
Hey, partner, how are you? I noticed you're a little down today. Come
no,
on, pep up.
No, you know what?
It's our first show in a while. Come
I was
on.
Frustrated that we were arguing over whether or not it was actually snowing outside.
I laughed in your face when you said it was snowing outside. Yes, I admit.
You are a snob about many things, Andy. I did not know that you could add snow snobbery to your collection.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That was a snow sneeze.
The last Kick Around broadcast show was the 18th of December, almost a month ago since the last time we did one of these things. Now, we've done a few podcasts, and if you want, you can follow us and follow those podcasts from our website or on your favorite podcasting application. Just search The Kick Around, and you'll find all that good stuff, or go to thekickaround.com. There's the website information for you. So here's our program for today. We have an hour because NFL Wild Card Super Sunday or Super Weekend, whatever they're calling it. They're already literally calling it Super Wild Card Weekend.
Get the word super in there.
It's always better with the word super. Maybe we should call ourselves Super Kick Around.
Yes.
You think?
Supersized. When it's 2 hours, we'll call it a supersized kick around.
So I think the first thing in order we agreed to, Andy, was to try to figure out a way to summarize or come up or catch everybody up on what's happened, at least in the Premier League, since we last talked to everybody live on a radio station. There seems to be four main talking points that we've broken this into.
Right.
And the first one is the most obvious one, which is congratulations to Manchester City for winning the 2021-2022 Premier League season on January 15th as they beat Chelsea today. And I'm not even sure it was as close as the score.
You're kidding, of course.
1-0.
I'm not kidding. It's not official yet. But after watching this morning's game, I think we all collectively kind of decided. I mean, we the neutral and we those... You know, those that root for Liverpool or Chelsea, you know, had held out hope that we could catch City. But man, after watching them dismantle is the wrong word against Chelsea, but dominate. Even though it was 1-0, they did what they wanted with Chelsea today. Chelsea did not look good, and you know, them and Liverpool are the closest, you know, they're the only ones that really had a chance. I think City just wrapped it up.
All right, just work with me here for a second. Weren't we largely, and this includes Lars and you and me and all the other pundits out there that we all read and know and love, not that long ago, it feels like, you know, all sitting around going, man, this is going to be a great Premier League season. It's going to be a really good race for the top spot. Definitely top four, but even a chase for the title.
Not only that, not too long before we went off the air for a month, not too long before that, we were patting ourselves on the back because we had picked Chelsea to finish first.
Correct.
That's it was looking like a really good pick. That was early December.
Yeah, that wasn't
November.
That long ago. No. And Chelsea kind of went off the boil. They got their things going on. But you got to give credit to Pep Guardiola and Man City. We talk a lot about the disparities of the have and have nots in our game. Not just in any league, right? You talk about Bayern over in Germany or Juventus in Italy or whatever club you want to pick. But City is an example because there are plenty of teams with brutal wealth in the Premier League. But City is the one that have made all the good, smart decisions. Not just on terms of the roster, but in terms of coaching.
Yep.
They cleared the way for the best possible path, and they are now purely a machine.
Yeah. Pep has built something special. And, you know, it was only a year ago we were like, is Pep going to even continue? Is he happy? And this will be 4 titles in 5 years at the Premier League. But you know, they still haven't won that Champions League. And maybe that's the one motivating factor that he still has.
That's the interesting thing, because right now, as of today, they are 13 points in front of Chelsea with the same amount of games. Liverpool does have 2 games in hand. But even if Liverpool were to win both of those, they would still be 8 points behind. I can't see anybody making a case of how City blows this at this point.
Right. And that will allow them to, with this much space in between them and second and third, this will allow them to really focus on a Champions League move. But also Chelsea and Liverpool. Look, Chelsea and Liverpool are comfortable enough in second and third that they don't have to worry about falling out of the top four. They're not going to catch City. And those are the 3 teams left representing the Premier League and the Champions League. I think all 3 of those teams are really going to focus now on Champions League.
Here's the scariest part about City's situation. If I'm thinking of the schedule correctly, I think they've already completed having to play at essentially all the other main competitors.
Except Liverpool.
On the road.
Oh, on the road. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
They've already played United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, everybody on the road. They get to have everybody at home now. It's a done and dusted deal. Now, talking point number 2 would be the fight for 4th place, which is going to be an interesting run to the finish, if only because there's a whole bunch of new unexpected players in this deal.
Yeah, that's one factor. It's going to be fun, and let's just list the 4 teams competing for that one spot. It's West Ham, Arsenal, Spurs, and Man United. Right?
Would you not throw Wolves in
there? No, because they have to get hot, and 4 teams above them have to stumble. It's a lot.
Okay.
For all 4 to stumble.
Well, after
them.
Today, I'm feeling like United falls into that same category, but we'll keep talking.
No. So, and before we analyze each of those teams, is I guess who has the best chance to finish 4th. Think about this, too, because, and this leads into kind of the third talking point, and maybe it kind of goes together here, is all the COVID postponements, the games that have been canceled or postponed, actually, because of COVID. It's really created a difficult scenario for us pundits, or us, those that like to predict.
It feels too formal to be calling us pundits,
Sandy. Like quasi-pundits, right? Pundits wannabe.
Blowhards.
Yeah, that also. Pretend pundits, how's that? Because there's such a difference between actual games played by all these teams. So it's really hard to see where teams are, who they have left. It's going to be a really exciting spring to determine who that 4th team is.
And not until we get finished with the month of January, when we see how the transfer window falls, will I have really any clear feeling as to how this is going to play? Because as bad as Manchester United are in this particular moment, and their draw today against Villa after being up 2-0, and just, I mean, they literally spent the entire second half looking like they played the game a man down after playing a really, really, probably the best first 45 minutes of soccer we've seen them play under Ragnit. It's like somebody forgot to come out of the locker room in the second half, and Villa really turned the screws on them. Coutinho comes on.
Speaking of transfers, there's one.
He comes on, and in the span of just a few minutes, gets an assist and a goal to tie it for Villa.
So a couple questions for you for United. That first half, they looked good. Not having Ronaldo on the field, was that a factor? Did you like that? Do you think it's better that way?
Yes. Okay. I have this whole thing that I could talk about for an entire segment about the problems that you deal with when you have Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo on the field and a manager like Ragnik that's trying to install his own system because each of those players are kind of systems unto themselves.
Right.
And when you have them on the field playing each their own system, you know, you have heard before the idea at the Portuguese national team that Ronaldo and Bruno cannot play on the field together at the same time.
Interesting.
That's not an uncommon thing, right?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And we've kind of seen that play out over the last few months at Manchester United.
So why did they go get Ronaldo? That's the question.
Because United is very much a
marketing
business first kind of thing.
The other question I have for you, is it weird whenever they cut to the bench and you see Chris Armas dictating strategy for your team in the Premier League?
It doesn't help that Chris Armas... Look, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Armas. He was a fantastic player for our country.
One of the best his position.
And in this league. But even I cringe a little bit when I see him on Manchester United's bench, mostly because he's a mouth breather.
Okay.
Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I guess.
Because
he's
always got his... He's got AirPhone AirPods in his ears wired. He's talking or listening to something. I don't know what. And he sits there with his mouth open, mouth breathing. And
to
he just doesn't look super
A little bit more weird
engaged
than that is the head coach of Manchester United is constantly turning to his left to his first assistant, Chris Armas.
Well, is Chris Armas the first assistant?
He's
I don't think he
like
is.
Acting like it because he's constantly turning to him, asking for strategic advice.
Yeah, it's related to the time where they were all within the same Red Bull system, and that's how. Like, there was some thought
that maybe Jesse Marsh
would show up, but Andy, 100% with you, sir. I think it is very weird. It's not my favorite thing. There are a lot of problems at Manchester United, but me having weird feelings about Chris Armas kind of falls way down.
Yeah, right. You got bigger fish to fry.
But let's see how the transfer window, because that's a team that could really change their fortunes, as Villa did by getting Coutinho. If Vlahovic leaves our team in Italy to go to Arsenal,
That's big.
That's a huge deal.
Right.
We still don't know what's going to happen with Spurs, and now the media over in England is really talking up this thing with Conte being super vague about his situation.
Like, he doesn't want to. He's already saying he doesn't want to continue past this. Like, it's so funny.
Did you see the press conference where he was talking about we're in the present, not in the future, and the future?
Well, I read the quotes. I didn't see it, but I read the quotes.
It's so clear that he's just ready to bail.
So, who's made a more positive impact so far early in their tenure? Him, Conte at Spurs, or Regonk at Man United?
Oh, it's got to be Conte so far.
I think so,
I mean, look, Regonk has only lost one game, but they've not looked really good at all in any of their games.
Right, they haven't looked like markedly better than they had been playing before that. So, handicapping the four, I would say United probably has the most difficult path to get to fourth. I don't know if you agree with me. I know the transfer window has something to do with it. Goal difference is a big one, too, because of two teams end
up Do you realize that there's only one team in the Premier League that has given up more road goals, I think it is. I forgot what the stat is. Somebody. Yeah, Burnley.
That's not good company.
Yeah.
And then Spurs. So now we look at Arsenal.
But Spurs has so many games in hand. They've only played 18 games. Now, Spurs' problem is you think that's a good thing, but this is where we start talking about these postponements.
Right.
The North London Derby now has been officially postponed. Mm-hmm. People are pissed off at the Gunners, at Arsenal for this, because they feel like Arsenal's pulled a fast one, claiming COVID issues, despite the fact that they just loaned some players out. Like, why did you loan players out? We should talk about this, because I do think the Premier League has really failed in their the rules they set up. There's a page on the Premier League website where you can go read the rules of how they're making these decisions, and you don't have to be a footy expert to read these and think, okay, this is just a recipe for disaster.
Right, and this was all put in place originally to give clubs a break that had a lot of COVID cases all at one time, right? That's how it started. Now we got to a situation where Arsenal got a pass. They got their request fulfilled. Basically, they asked not to play tomorrow. They have one guy with COVID. They have two guys on loan, three guys at the African Nations Cup.
Yeah.
You have an under-23 team.
You have a PL2 team. You've got, or the U23 team. You've got youth guy. I mean, the whole reason why we structure clubs this way is to bring kids up through. There's no way you don't have 17 guys.
So has the Premier League issued a statement on the reasoning yet or not?
There was a whole statement. Tottenham's released a statement.
Yeah, Tottenham, of course, is livid.
And Arsenal clearly has just decided to... Arsenal's like, look, we're just following the rules.
Right.
And I guess, in fairness to them, yeah, they are. But it looks bad. It's created all sorts of problems down the road. I don't know where Tottenham's going to squeeze all these games in.
So they have games in hand, but their issue is they have to win those games. Arsenal, their problems... Transfer window's key. That leaves us with West Ham United. Still sitting in fourth with a plus 12 goal difference, which is really, really good compared to plus 3 and plus 3 for United and Spurs. They end up tied on points. United has the advantage. They're not playing in Europe. Neither of the other three are. So that's
West Ham is. Did they get bounced out of Europe? They're playing in the...
So that's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
Are they in the Nations?
No, they qualified for
the Europa League.
Yeah, they're in the Europa League. Yeah, so you've totally blown a fuse in my head, Andy. They are in the Europa League.
So that's what they have going against them then, because they're going to have to squeeze that in.
Well, not only that, I think they're still in some other cup competitions until I'm looking at their schedule now.
Yeah, they've got FA Cup coming.
They've
up.
They've got FA month. Cup games.
Yeah, but
they've
about
got
everybody has FA Cup, right?
They've got Europa. Yeah, they've got. Look, their roster size is really going to be David Moyes' problem. Can he keep a team fielded long enough to make this run, and also play in multiple competitions?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I almost feel like you can make that argument for any of these teams because you just don't know how the COVID thing's going to go.
It's going to be really, really interesting.
It is. And then we move all the way down here to the bottom of the list. By the way, I want to give a real quick shout out to our good P1 Lone Star Canary, who got a big win today.
Yeah, against?
Sam's team.
Yeah. To his credit, Sam, to your credit, it was the goal call you picked.
I'm just fully broken now. until Rafa's thrown out onto a river, I'm broken.
So, all right. We'll talk relegation here in just a few minutes. But anything else you want to cover here?
No, that the spring is going to be a little bit nuts. And I think the next 6 to 8 weeks are going to be nuts because you're going to add international dates as well. Teams are going to lose guys to international duty. So those teams, and when you're talking about those four vying for that fourth spot, whoever has the most national team players or players that are going to go out to play international competitions, those guys might get stricken as well. And so that's going to factor in. You got FA Cup, you got Champions League, and then you got games that you have to make up. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, having games in hand at this point you would think is a good thing until you realize where in the world are you going to play them?
And because, you got to win those too.
Yeah. The international break windows are going to continue to be a problem because I think out of how many are left, are there four of them left, international windows? Not qualification windows, because how many of those are two-game windows versus three-game windows?
Yeah, but Europe, for example, they're just going straight to playoffs now, and those are a little bit later.
Okay.
But teams that lose players to CONCACAF and to South America, like all these guys that have Brazilian players, for example, Argentinian players, those have to come back. And, you know, once you go and play internationally, who knows? It's happened a lot. They've come back positive or injured.
Well.
And then you got the guys playing in Africa Cup, Andy, which is another conversation.
Very good job in the synopsis since the last 5 weeks since we last did this. Yes. All right. When we come back, there were other games today that all had relegation implications, and we'll talk about that next here on the Kick Around. Andrew, I have a trivia bit for you.
Bring it. Does it World Cup?
From the Twitter account of the great Richard Jolly is this note.
Okay.
Who are the only team in the Premier League so far this year to have lost to Brentford, Watford, and Norwich, the three promoted clubs? Which Premier League club is the only
team?
You are correct!
Okay, just because I hate them now doesn't mean you get to either. Like, I'm allowed to hate them because I love
you
them.
You hate Everton?
Yes, I am. I said this morning to a fellow fan, I hate so much that I love this team right now.
Sam, don't feel like I'm picking on you in particular, because whenever I find interesting and awful sounding statistical or factoid problems about Manchester United, I will gladly share those.
No,
with
you do. You are a very equal opportunity hater, even of your own team that you love. Like, I respect it.
All right. So Everton did lose today at Norwich, and because I have a weird soft spot in my heart for the Canaries, Josh Sargent created a goal today.
He would have. It would have been a hockey goal.
It would have been a hockey goal if they didn't want to call it an own goal.
Yeah. Let's talk about him for a little bit. I know he was on the winning side of the game today, right? And he did okay, but
he has his fits and starts, his moments. But he's looking like a long part of his spell at Wolfsburg, he's being played out of position. He's not a wide player nature,
right? But Timo Pukki is in there.
Yeah, I know.
You know. If you want both to have minutes, that's how you do it. Anyway, congrats to Norwich. That was huge.
That is
in the battle for the relegation.
Well, because part of the relegation in that win today is the fact that Everton now is tied with Leeds at 19 points, a mere 6 points away from Norwich, who now sit at the top of the relegation.
Two straight losses and two straight wins, and they're right there.
Sam, you are our resident Toffee fan. Is Rafa going to get canned here before the next game, or is that pending, or is that not going to happen, or what's the word?
So word after the match, about an hour after it finished, was that the heat has never been higher. So it seems like he might get to coach next week against this Aston Villa team that just took 2 points off United. They will probably die in that game.
Is that at Goodison?
I believe it's at Villa Park, but let me double check.
May I interrupt?
Yeah, yes, of course.
How high can the heat go? The heat has never been higher week after week.
I know.
Like, how much hotter can it get in that room?
It is at Goodison next week.
It does feel like that never. That was an arrangement, a marriage, a hire that just never felt like it was ever going to work. And from the get-go, when all the Everton fans were like, what? You're going to hire who?
Why do you say that you never felt it was going to work? Like from a competition
because
and
I think,
tactics?
I think there was a significant part of the fan base that never really felt like he was.
But that's not affecting the results.
I'm not sure that over there, when you feel like part of your fan base just has it out for you because you're a former coach of the...
But he's not affecting... Like, that can't be affecting his coaching acumen and the results on the field and how his players perform. Like, we can say he's not coaching well, but I don't know if it's because of that.
I'm not saying that's the only reason. Okay. I think that it does impact his players. I think the players in the stadium feel that level of like, man, these people that are supposed to love us hate our coach.
Because the players go to the pub and they're out in public
Or even on the field when they're middle of trying to fight through a game and all they hear is their fan base.
Yeah, Rafa out.
You know,
from week three.
They're holding banners now in the crowd telling him to get out. It's not going great.
Yeah.
Remember, didn't they do something like hung something in effigy in front of his house something?
Yeah,
that was
pre-hire.
They
got the wrong house. That was the awkward
part. Oh, the wrong house.
They tried to do it, but it was like one street over.
That was before game one.
Yeah, it's also being reported he's just a giant a-hole behind the scenes. Like the Luka Dean transfer controversy has made that all like... Now there's rumors that he's the reason Marcel Brands left is because he's been just a giant jerk. I mean, look, I would have fired him directly after the Norwich match, but I've been trying to fire him for weeks. it's hard to imagine if they drop points against Villa, which they almost certainly will, that he doesn't get let go.
I thought it would have been today.
Me too.
Honest.
I'm hoping it is.
Well, it may still, but here's the thing. I want everybody to keep an eye out because the way this is working out, something wonderful for the next season may actually come to fruition.
I think we're on the same page here,
which
right?
is the potential that Newcastle could get relegated and their crosstown rival Sunderland Till I Die, one of our favorite all-time, may get promoted from League One, and that wonderful derby will be played against each other in the championship next season. And that would be awesome, especially with Newcastle now being part owned by a nation state.
That's where I thought you were going with this. I was going to ask you if you're secretly hoping Newcastle gets relegated just because of what's happened in terms of the purchase, and now that a nation state owns them, wouldn't it be great if they had to start moving this whole thing forward from the championship?
When we did the podcast a couple of weeks ago with Lars, he and I had this whole conversation about everybody, when the announcement came that Newcastle was getting bought by Saudi Arabia, we're just going to call it that.
Yeah,
we all looked at each other and went, well, okay, look, they're not playing very well now, but you know what they're going to do? January will arrive and they'll go out and spend all this money on all these players and they'll keep themselves alive. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, in that time, they've done nothing but lose and not collect points. They've won one game. They're they've got 12 points out of 20 games. They've hired a guy, and they've already made a couple of purchases. Yeah. Have you seen the T-shirt? I know there's a T-shirt coming that says, my club got bought by a brutally wealthy nation state, and all I got was Chris Wood.
Right. All I got
prayers for Josh Kerber, by the way.
Yes, and so now, but then again, I was talking to Lars about that, and Lars made a really good point, which is they went out and got Trippier from Atletico Madrid, which is a weird thing unto itself. Why would you leave a Champions League team to come play for a team like struggling to not get relegated?
Because they're going to eventually be like a top five power.
But he's one of the best crossers of the ball of the game.
Right, yeah. And then
Chris Wood has one good attribute, and that's heading the ball. Yeah, and now they got a guy that can do that.
Because he's very tall.
Now, that means if you do stay up and you end up buying a bunch of other guys, you're stuck with Chris Wood unless you figure out a way to pawn him off on somebody else.
Are you hoping they get relegated?
Yes, because I want them and Sunderland in the championship together next season.
I just want Saudi Arabia to have to deal with a championship.
Well, that would be great, but it would be double great that now they have to play that game two times, at least, in the championship.
Probably to see if one of them comes up.
I don't know. Don't start giving Sunderland that much credit.
Sure, no, why not? Once they get back in championship, they'll be strong side.
Okay. Now, Burnley.
Because they want to be pundit. That's my opinion.
Now, somehow, very quietly, I haven't figured out how this turned out, but somehow Burnley has ended up at the bottom of the table.
Now,
they have got a ton of games in hand.
Right, but again, especially true for these teams at the bottom. You have to win some of those, and it's hard for these teams to win games.
It is, especially with, and now they've sold off Chris Wood. Not that he was banging in goals for them. But it's not like they've got somebody to replace him, at least not yet. I guess we'll find out here in the next few weeks. But Watford lost again today. Watford tied Newcastle. Yeah. That was the score today.
But it was like a loss for Newcastle because they had that game in the bag. And
then Pedro scored in the 88th minute, and they ended up, so Watford is just barely outside of that.
Look,
that
it's window. Watford, Norwich, Newcastle. With all respect to Everton and Leeds, I think they're safe. You never know with Everton. They just keep dropping. But Watford, Norwich, Newcastle, and Burnley. That's three teams that will go down and one will be saved. And it's a coin flip at this point, right? When you look at all that. So
considering how bad Norwich has been, either pre or post Dean Smith's move there, it is amazing that now they're actually somehow 18th and not 20th. Because it felt like not that long ago there was no way they were going to get off the bottom of the table.
And a point from 17th, so not too bad.
Now, again, this is hard to talk about because everybody's got a different amount of. It's not equal. Everybody, Burnley's played 17 games. Norwich has played 21 games.
It's not the neat and tidy table we're used to.
It makes it hard to do
this,
doesn't
it? It's going to be crazy over our break. Before we go to break, though, I do want to correct myself and actually explain why I was wrong about West Ham in Europe. They've bypassed that playoff round now in Europa League, which is kind of a new format, and they've gone straight to the round of 16. So okay. they don't have to play in February, but come March, they'll be playing.
You're
in Europe.
Usually so tidy with your facts, Andy. When you
especially
said they were not in Europe,
it yes,
blew
right, yes.
my fuse.
Yes, I know.
So.
Apologies.
All right, when we come back, the U.S. men's national team is about to get to qualification, and Ricardo Pepi sells for 20 million big ones next year on The Kicker. All right, here we go. Lightning round, 7 minutes, final segment of today's Kick Round before NFL playoff football. Andy?
What are we ever going to talk about?
U.S. men's national team gets back to qualifying yeah. here soon. And mm-hmm. leading the line is likely to be former, and I said former since the last time we talked, mm-hmm. our little club from Frisco sold Ricardo Pepi for a record, at least in terms of homegrowns, meaning a kid that comes up from the academy in this mm-hmm. league, 20 million big ones.
Where does that
to Osberg?
Yeah, stack in MLS history.
It's
like
second,
Alfonso Davies?
No, it's actually ahead of Alfonso Davies,
okay.
and it's second behind the Almirón sale from Atlanta Newcastle. He was 26 or 27.
But Almirón was bought from South America, from a team in South America, and then resold.
Yes. Now, so Ricardo he did play a few minutes at the end of Osberg's last game.
Yeah, did you see?
I watched
highlights?
It. Yeah.
I thought he looked okay. He didn't look out of place. He wasn't great, but he was okay. A few good touches, good runs.
Yeah. I think it's very clear that the success of Pepi at Augsburg is largely going to be tied to the fact that it's pretty obvious after watching just 90 minutes of them, they're not a very good team.
No, that's going to be a problem.
They're pretty poor.
Yes, because as you saw in those highlights, he actually made a couple good runs and just ended up not getting the service.
Yeah. And he's a guy, and by the way, if you haven't been following our good friend Buzz Carrick in Third Degree, who really is the expert about Ricardo Pepi, that's the one thing. He's a guy that needs service. Mm-hmm. You've got to get him the ball, and they're going to have to figure that out. So, man, it's super cool. My favorite thing about the whole Pepi deal, really, is the fact that Buzz was the one that gave him the El Tren nickname.
Uh-huh.
And Osberg actually has used it in his announcement video.
Yes.
And it's what he's called now.
Forevermore, that's going to be a nickname associated with Ricardo Pepi.
It is. It is great. Now, the reason why I find that interesting is that $20 million is a big deal. And if you wanted to feel optimistic about our little team from Frisco's upcoming season, is that now they got cash to spend. And Dan Hunt has been saying they're going to spend it. They did something else that I think is equally as important, which is they signed Jesus Freire
mm-hmm.
to an amazing DP deal mm-hmm. worth $2 million bucks a year in salary.
Yeah, just
and
under $2 million.
That I was not expecting.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of change.
He went from about $500,000 a year to $2 million
yeah.
a year.
So a couple of things because remember, 2 years ago, it was like, what is wrong with Jesus? Will he ever be the player we thought he would be? And then he's turned it around. Positionally, he's playing in a more comfortable spot, I think. And now the national team, you know, he is firmly in their radar, right? I mean, he is.
Well, he's been called up to the January camp.
He's come in as a sub. I think he saw his first qualifier minutes in the last window.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he's a legit player, but I think more importantly for the club, the signing means that they have him now. And when the time comes to sell him off, because we are starting to now hear rumors that there are teams interested in Europe, interested in Ferreira, you know, they've signed him and
right.
now they get that cash. Look, once you start to have a little bit of success selling players abroad and those players have success, like West McKinney, for example, then your club earns a reputation, and then it kind of becomes easier to move these players that are going up in value. And I think FC Dallas finds itself in a pretty good spot internationally now.
Yeah, and there's also a hot rumor running around on the internet that they are going to sign a guy out of the Argentinian league, a very highly rated Alan Velasco at Independiente. He's only 19 years old, but here's the reason why it may catch your eye, because Dallas is not well known for spending transfer fees. This could be a $7 million purchase just in a transfer fee to get Velasco, who is a guy that has been looked at by clubs all over the world. He's a winger. And that would be an interesting, and that would not just be an interesting signing, it would be a significant change in how Dallas
right.
does business.
And to look at this, he's 19. Remember Mauro Diaz. Mauro Diaz was around 19. nowhere near $7 million transfer fee. Also came from a legit youth academy and club system in Argentina. Independiente is a legit club in Argentina. Think about this. Think about how much better this player is that commands such a higher transfer fee compared to Mauro Diaz and how good Mauro Diaz was in this league, right?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Now, Andy, we have U.S.-Canada coming up, and we heard the news that Alphonso Davies is out with a heart condition, post-COVID myocarditis. Mm-hmm. Does that change your flavor of how you feel about
it? Of course.
U.S. will face El Salvador and Columbus on Thursday the 27th. Then they have to go to Tim Hortons Donut Shop in Hamilton to face Canada on the 30th.
Cold.
And then they go to Minnesota on the 2nd of February.
That's
going to
be cold,
Honduras.
Too. But they face Honduras, and they face El Salvador and Columbus. That's going to be cold. But they face Canada in Canada. You know how brisk that wind is off the lake there in Hamilton?
You've ever been there?
I haven't been to Hamilton.
No?
But I've been to Toronto. It's an hour away. I mean, Toronto's my...
All right. Well, I hope we get to do a show next week. Thanks for everybody listening this week, P1s. We love and adore you. Get stuck in and win your 50s.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK-AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK-FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station.